Hello, welcome to the Psychology of Attractiveness podcast. I'm Rob Burris. In this episode, we look at three new studies on attraction to opposite sex friends. How do men and women differ in their attraction to friends? And can you make a friend fall in love with you by falling in love with them first? First up this month, let's try a little thought experiment. Think of a specific friend who identifies as a gender that you find attractive. Okay, have you got someone in mind? Now rate how attracted you are to that friend on a scale of 1 to 9. 1 means not at all attracted, 5 means moderately attracted, and 9 means extremely attracted. Research by April Bleskerachek, a psychologist at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, shows that women rate their attraction to their male friends at an average of around 4 out of 9. Men rate their attraction to their female friends 1 point higher at around 5. Men appear to see their opposite sex friends as possible romantic partners somewhat more than women do. Or do they? Bleskerachek wondered if men and women differed in their ratings because of the type of friend they were imagining. Perhaps when you ask a woman to think of a male friend, she does just that. Men, on the other hand, might find their thoughts turning to a female acquaintance they wish was something more than a friend. In a new follow-up study, Bleskerachek had two research assistants approach male-female pairs of adults in a university student union. The research assistants invited the pairs to take part in a psychology experiment. Those who agreed were asked to stand apart from one another and then given a survey to complete. The survey included questions about each volunteer's attraction to the other person in their pair. The volunteers also reported if they and their partner were in a relationship, or if they were just friends, or if they knew each other in some other capacity. Bleskerachek examined the data for the pairs in which both members stated that they were friends. She found that men rated the attractiveness of their friend at around 4, and women rated the attractiveness of their friend at around 3.5. a difference of only half a point that was revealed by statistical analysis to be non-significant. In other words, men appear to be no more or less attracted to their opposite sex friends than women are, if you recruit real friendship pairs rather than simply asking people to think of a friend. These results suggested that Bleskerachek's theory could be correct. Perhaps when men are asked to think of a female friend, they don't think of a woman they hang out with at the student union, i.e. a real friend, but instead of the most attractive woman they know, even if she barely qualifies as a friend. To find out for sure if she was right, Bleskerachek had around 300 young men and women think of an opposite sex friend. Then she asked those same volunteers which of two definitions fit their friend best. Either a person of the opposite sex who's a friend, or a person of the opposite sex who I'm physically attracted to. Volunteers were free to select both definitions if they so wished. The researchers found that 42% of men, but 66% of women, chose a friend of the opposite sex as their preferred definition. Another 42% of men, the same as before, but only 29% of women, chose a person of the opposite sex who I'm physically attracted to as their preferred definition. As much as 17% of men, but only 5% of women, thought both definitions described their friend. So it seems Bleskerachek was correct. Men may be more attracted to their opposite sex friends than women are, but only when men are given a free choice of which of their friends they want to think about. Given a free choice, the first friend a man thinks of will be someone he finds alluring. Women are much more likely to take the request at face value. If they're asked to think of a friend, then they'll think of a friend. Not someone who's a potential partner, but someone they've definitely relegated to the friend zone. Now, perhaps you're lucky enough not to have heard of the friend zone. It's the limbo to which attractive people send people like you and me when they decide that we're definitely not partner material. Entering the friend zone is like passing the event horizon of a black hole. Just as light can't escape a black hole, a friend can't escape the friend zone. Anyway, that's the lay theory. But what does the research say? If you're attracted to a friend whom you suspect has placed you firmly in the friend zone, can you convince that friend to reconsider your suitability as a relationship partner? That's what Edward LeMay and Noah Wolfe of the University of Maryland set out to discover. For their first experiment, the scientists rounded up 127 pairs of platonic male-female friends. Each of these volunteers completed a series of questionnaires about their attraction to their friend, how much they felt their friend reciprocated their desire, and whether they'd ever tried to initiate a romantic relationship with their friend, perhaps simply by flirting with them or even telling them outright that they were attracted to them. LeMay and Wolfe found that the attraction between friends was detected by those friends. In other words, we can tell with a good degree of accuracy if our friends are attracted to us. LeMay and Wolfe also found that those who were attracted to a friend tended to think that their friend reciprocated their desire. We project our feelings onto our friends and assume that if we like them, they must like us too. This projection effect was stronger than the accuracy effect. In short, this means we're delusional. But this delusion could be useful. If we kid ourselves into believing that our friends are attracted to us as much as we're attracted to them, we're more likely to take a chance on initiating a romantic relationship with them. A chance we may not have taken if we were more accurate in our perceptions. If we knew that our friends didn't dig us in the way we dug them, then we'd remain confined to the friend zone forever, never making an effort to move that relationship forward to something deeper. Now, you may have spotted a flaw in this plan. If you hit on a friend who likes you less than you like them, surely they're just going to knock you back. What's the gain from self-delusional overconfidence? LeMay and Wolfe carried out a second experiment to find out, this time following 102 pairs of male-female friends over the course of a month. This allowed them to follow how friends' perceptions of one another developed over time. They found that volunteers whose friend attempted to initiate a relationship with them came to desire that friend more over time. As LeMay and Wolfe put it, quote, "Initially biased perceptions appeared to motivate behaviour that resulted in targets, i.e. the desired friend, confirming those perceptions, which is the hallmark of a self-fulfilling prophecy." Unquote. So there you go. With concerted effort, you can claw your way out of the friend zone. If you fancy your friend and let them know it, your desire could inflame theirs and lead to a long and fulfilling relationship. Or I suppose there's always the possibility that your relationship could crash and burn, in which case you may hear your erstwhile partner suggest, "Why don't we just be friends?" But should you stay friends with an ex? And would you want to? Justin Magilski, along with Lisa Welling, a former lab mate of mine at Penn State University, now at Oakland University in Michigan, both decided to investigate the motivations of male-female couples to maintain their friendship after the spark has gone from their romantic relationships. First, the researchers asked 348 volunteers to brainstorm reasons why a person might want to remain friends with a partner after a split. Their volunteers came up with a sizable list of 153 unique and specific justifications for why someone would want to maintain a relationship with an ex. Next, Magilski and Welling recruited another 513 men and women who'd experienced at least one breakup. These volunteers rated the importance of each of the 153 reasons and completed a barrage of personality questionnaires. Many of the reasons tended to cluster together. If a person thought one reason was important, there was a high chance they'd find another similar reason equally important, and this allowed the researchers to classify the reasons into sets based around a theme. One set of reasons seemed to be all about the reliability or sentimental value of the ex. Volunteers who said they'd maintain a friendship with a partner because they were a great listener also tended to say they valued their ex's advice, found them dependable, or that it simply felt normal to be around them. Another set of reasons were more pragmatic. The ex had a lot of money, would buy their former partner food or gifts, had attractive friends or useful social connections, or they were a fallback plan in case the volunteer failed to move on with a new relationship. A third set of reasons were about continued romantic attraction. Participants might still have feelings for their ex, hate the idea of their ex being with someone else, or want to make their ex's future partners feel uncomfortable. An opposite set of reasons was also evident. Some participants wanted to be friends with an ex because they no longer found them attractive. These reasons are presumably about why one might want to put an end to the sexual component of a relationship with a partner who's otherwise good company. Some volunteers had social ties to their ex that were difficult to break. They shared a child, they worked in the same office, or they supported each other through an illness. Others thought it was most important to maintain their social relationships, to stay friends with an ex to prevent awkwardness among a shared friendship group, or to stay on good terms with shared friends. And, of course, there were those who focused on perhaps the most obvious reason for maintaining a relationship with an ex, to keep having sex with them. Of these seven sets of reasons, the most important was the first. Reliability or sentimental value of the partner. Most people wanted to stay friends with an ex because they liked them and liked being around them. Pragmatic reasons were the lowest rated set, although men rated pragmatic reasons as more important than women did. And perhaps predictably, men also thought sexual access was a more valid reason than women did. As for personality, those who scored high on antagonism and extroversion, or low on honesty and humility, cited pragmatic reasons and sexual access reasons as more important for maintaining a relationship with an ex. So, if your ex likes to argue, is loud and obnoxious, dishonest, and lacking in humility, you should answer no when they ask, "Can we be friends?" But you probably knew that. After all, you've already dumped the loser. That's all for this episode. If you'd like to find out more about the research featured in today's show, you can head over to www.robertburris.com and click on podcasts. You can also keep up with new research on the psychology of attraction throughout the month by following me, Robert Burris, on Twitter. Before I finish up, I just want to make a quick announcement about the Psychology of Attractiveness app. Some of you will know that I published an app for the podcast several months ago, and those of you who've been using it have been able to get the podcasts, updates on the podcast and updates on the various blogs that I write on Medium. But unfortunately, the company that I use has decided they no longer want to provide the service of creating apps for free, and now they want to charge people, I think, like $30 a month, which isn't a huge amount, but it's sort of more than I'm willing to pay because I'm cheap. So, you know, I don't ask you guys for any money. This is a free podcast. And if I can keep my own costs down, that's great. And unfortunately, although the app has been reasonably popular, it's not been so much more popular than just subscribing via iTunes or via Stitcher or the podcast app on your iPhone, that it justifies, you know, forking out the fee every month. So regrettably, I wasn't given much notice, you know, maybe like a month's notice. And so the app, I think it's already discontinued. So hopefully if you're an app user, you've managed to find this episode. And if you're not an app user, you probably feel rather smug now that you didn't switch. Anyway, that's it. If you like the app, sorry, it's gone. Unless you want to start giving me loads of loot. Until next time, thanks for listening. You can catch a new episode in 4 weeks where I'll be talking about whether opposites attract, a couple of papers on attractiveness and weight differences among couples. So that should be good. Until next time, thanks for listening. I'll see you later.